We were hoping to be outside today, but the weather had a little bit to say about that as well. But we're going to head into our sermon time here, and I'm going to begin with a, as we know that it is Mother's Day today and kind of a Mother's Day weekend, I'm going to take as a summarizing verse of our lectionary. We will be touching on each of our lectionary readings, but I want to use as a summarizing verse this passage in Isaiah 66. If you have your Bible, Isaiah 66, verses 13 and 14, and I want to start there. And I guess I also want to begin this sermon by saying that this is, again, another one of these sermons. I'm a mere man, a mere fallen man, saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have the same weaknesses that all men and women have. And so I want to begin with a true confession here that everything that I'm going to say in the sermon today, I absolutely, positively believe to be absolutely and completely true. And yet I too need to increase my appropriation of this truth and this wonderful care that God our Father has over all of us, in particular as his people, and over all things. I too need to appropriate this, even though I know it to be true, inside and out. But I need to know it to be true down to my very bones. So the title of our message and sermon this morning is, Everything's Been Taken Care Of. Everything's been taken care of. We may not be feeling that these days in the middle of COVID or a thousand other challenges and afflictions we may be going through, but everything's been taken care of. Listen to the word from Isaiah 66, 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the presentation here of your word to us this day. Father, the things we will speak about this day are not new, Lord, to many of us. We know this passage. We know you. We've heard your word. And yet, Lord, give us a fresh appropriation of this. Do that for me and do that for all of us today. Lord, especially in this hour. We ask your grace upon us here. In Jesus' name, amen. He really was a literary genius and a giant. His name was Rudyard Kipling. And it is attributed to him to be the one who first coined the phrase, God couldn't be everywhere, therefore he gave us mothers. He was a giant, he was a genius, and yet his premise is horribly inaccurate. God couldn't be everywhere. God is everywhere. But his conclusion, premise is erroneous. Premise is faulty, where he said God couldn't be everywhere. But his conclusion is as solid could be. God gave us mothers. I wonder if he got that from the scriptures. He was a literary genius, a literary giant, and in verse 13 of our passage, there is a literary device called a simile, an as and a so. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. What's happening in the scriptures here is this, is that it was God himself that uses our mothers as his model. God uses our mothers as his model. The eyes and the soul, the simile. And so there is this comforting that we read about in this verse, this providing, this taking care of aspect of who God is. Listen, it's not all that God is. God has fatherly duties and instincts and characters. It's not all he is when he says, as your mother's comforted you, so will I comfort. But it is a part, an important part. It's no small part of who God is as he reveals himself to us. Now here in verse 14, I'm going to use the old King James, and I'm going to take a little bit of license and liberty here in my application of the very first part of this. But in verse 14 here in the old King James, he begins by saying, when you see this. And of course, we can take that literally because we live thousands of years after this was written, and we have seen the fulfillment of this in Jesus Christ. But taking that liberty and that license from the old King James, when you see this, I want us to understand this, that when you understand it, when you get it, when you really understand that God, and again, our mothers are finite, they are frail, they may not have been the very best of caregivers and comfort givers, but God certainly is. God certainly is. When we get that, that is who God is, and that God indeed has taken care of everything, what flows out from that are three things, the very same three things. When we really get it, these three things are going to be true in our life. First, your heart shall flourish and your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like an herb. You'll be healthy. You'll have a healthy attitude. You'll be at peace. You'll be happy. Your heart shall flourish. Your bones, your inside, will flourish like an herb. It'll go well with you from the inside and out. You'll have health, biblical health. But then secondly, something else happens here, and that second thing is this: others shall know, meaning his servants shall be encouraged. When we really understand and get it, that God comforts his people. Not only are we healthy, but the other servants notice this. It's known to them. Let's read it again from verse 14. The hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants. Others will know that. Oh, God has his hand on Jim Dujack. And God has his hand on Alan and Michael and Terry and Peter and every single one of us. Others will notice that. And then thirdly, it says that his indignation will be toward his enemies. Those opposing God, those opposing Jesus Christ, they will be put on notice that God comforts his own, he cares for his own, and they had better watch out. They're put on notice. We will see all three of these results as we make our way through the sermon this day. But first I want to begin with us. Do you see it? When you see this, is how verse 14 put it. Do you see it? Do you know it in your bones? Do you understand it? Do you really get it? That everything's been taken care of. You know, we think about this COVID thing and how, you know, it has shaken almost everything in our culture. In the New Testament, we read about God shaking the heaven and earth so that the things that cannot shake and might remain. In some respects, what's happening in our land is that indeed God is shaking everything. COVID is a part of that. That we would not be shaken. That we would turn again to our God and to know his comfort, a comfort that is even superior to the comfort that our mothers have given us. Shaken almost all things has COVID done, but remember that those that are his, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. COVID may take me, it may take you, it may have already taken those that you know and love. But whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And one way or another, each of us shall die. But he is taking care of everything. We live, we die. Our death does not in any way subtract from that which he has taken care of. He has taken care of everything. And this is the childlike trust that he wants us to possess. I want you to think about it. Maybe go back into your own childhood. Kids don't worry about nothing. We're free. We're easy. We can just go out and play, enjoy our lives. Yeah, we may have some chores to do, but we're not worried about anything. Why? Because mom's fixing everything for us. Mom takes care of everything. Mom is preparing our breakfast. Mom is packing our lunch. Mom is the one who's, readying our clothes. What do we read when we come to the New Testament? Having food and raiment, having food and clothes, be content therewith. On one level, we ought to be those, because God takes care of us in terms of food and clothing, we should still be living this carefree life, just like kids, trusting him for all things. I'm sure you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus speaks very similar words. Chapter 6 and verse 25, you know this well. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, for yet for your body, for what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than raiment? Again, the idea here is that mom, when we were kids, took care of our clothes. She took care of our food. God is doing that for us. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not. They don't get all bent out of shape here. Neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? You know, I think it's in the Psalms somewhere where the scripture talks about the ravens. And ravens, mom ravens, are notoriously poor parents and poor moms. And the scriptures remind us that God feeds the ravens, the young ravens. Everything's been taken care of. Which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why are you anxious for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things, the Gentiles, the pagans, the unbelievers, they seek and they fret over those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Where do we turn our attention? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. Everything's been taken care of. Isn't this what our gospel lesson was all about? You remember from John in chapter 14? Remember Matthew said, be not anxious? Here's Jesus in John 14. And he's about to go to the cross, by the way. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says this, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is acting as a comforter here. He is acting as a mom, if you will. He's preparing. Everything's been prepared for you. Everything's been taken care of. Jesus has gone, prepared everything. He has readied everything, not only for himself, but for us, his followers. The setting here is, you know, that Holy Thursday night, where he knows he's going to the cross. He says, everything, he says, I'm going and I'm going to, and this is 2,000 years ago. This has been taken care of for us. The resurrection is the proof positive that God has affirmed what he did and we're justified, and all of Jesus has, all that he has promised has been authenticated and will come to pass. And so we can rightly say now that God has prepared a place for me and for you. He's ready to everything. And don't forget here that the backdrop of this passage and of our lives, and the background here is he's going to the cross and it's death, and the backdrop of this is all about death. But again, death is the mere passageway. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Everything's been taken care of. He's prepared a place for us. The larger issue here, of course, is that the most important thing on our radar screen is not our death. It's Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you want to have something that really looms large on your radar screen, it ought not to be COVID, it ought not to be death, it ought to be Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us of that which he has readied in an earlier gospel in Luke in chapter 14. If you have your Bible again, we're in verse 15 now. He tells us this parable about the kingdom, and he says, when one of the others who sat eating with him heard the things he was saying, he said unto Jesus, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said unto him, a certain man gave a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, all things are now ready. The gospel going out, what we're doing here today, is bidding many to come. Reminding others, everything's ready. Everything's been taken care of. And so come to him. And you know, his readiness, you know, the idea here that everything's been taken care of extends to matters in this life as well as that which is in the next life. You know, during the Advent season and Easter time in particular, Karen and I often revisit our favorite movie. It's Jesus of Nazareth. And, you know, it's many, many hours long, and we go through the whole story there. But there are two scenes in particular that are striking to me, and I want to communicate them to you. And the first one is this. While they were still in Nazareth, right? Joseph was a carpenter, and he lives up there in the northern part of Israel in Nazareth. And Mary and Joseph are still there, and you know, they haven't had baby Jesus yet, but they're there. And they find out that they need to travel down to Bethlehem. And why do they need to travel down to Bethlehem? Because there's this census going on. And the census has decreed that everybody needs to be counted, and they had the custom in that day. The way they did that was, is not where you live, but the tribe of your ancestry, and so they needed to go back to Bethlehem. And The point of the story is, and there's this one little scene here, and Joseph is there with Mary and with Mary's mother, and they're commiserating about this fact that they now need to leave Nazareth and they need to go to Bethlehem. And Joseph says, you see, even Caesar obeys God. And Mary's mother says, the prophecy from Micah. Right? And you, little Bethlehem, though you're the least of the tribes, out of you shall come forth this ruler. And so here they are, they're marveling about the fact that they didn't really want to have to get up and go to Bethlehem here, but God has taken care of everything, working through means that were unimaginable to them, working through people in ways that was unimaginable to all of them. See, even Caesar is obeying God and making sure that God's perfect plan is coming into perfect fruition. Even Caesar obeys God. God is taking care of everything. Everything's been taken care of. And then in that same movie, a little bit later on, while they are in Bethlehem, Jesus still hasn't been born. They're in Bethlehem, and you know the story there. There's no place for them to go, right? And I'm sure they were very stressed out, as we get stressed out during times in our lives. They have no place to go, you know the story, no room in the inn. And in the movie there, Joseph ends up huddling with Mary in the streets, and he doesn't know what to do. He's already inquired, can I go in? There's no place for them to go. He's had the door closed in his face about going into the inn. And he huddles in the street with Mary there, and he says, God will take care of us. God will take care of us. And he just kind of huddles and tries to comfort her. And all of a sudden, this servant girl who had overheard the conversation with the innkeeper comes over to Joseph and says, come on, we have this place. Takes him down this path to the stable, to this manger scene. And you know this story. But indeed, God was taking care of them. Everything in your life and my life has been taken care of. How about that reading that we had from 1 Peter? 1 Peter in chapter 2. You know, the first verse of that reader, 1 Peter chapter 2 and then verse 2, it says this, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. Wow. What a simile about what moms do and what God does in terms of providing comfort, in terms of providing nutrition. You're a young Christian. God is going to give you, through his word, exactly what you need. You know, every once in a while I talk about life on the farm. And this is true of humans as it is of the animals on the farm. And, you know, unless they get those special nutrients, the colostrum from mom, they're not going to make it. What is the point of this? The point of this is this. Is that God has given even the most feeble, those of us who are newborn babes in Christ, God is being as a mother. He is making sure that you get the pure milk of the word so that you can grow, that you will survive. You'll have solid food later, but he's taking care of you. Everything has been taken care of. And then how does this passage end in 1 Peter? We closed out in verse 10, and it says this, who in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There was a time in our life when we were outside of this awareness here, and we may have been trying to earn our salvation, you know, before God through our works or a variety of different means, but we were not the people of God, but again, God has taken care of everything and his provision is on us. You are not a people, past tense, but you are now a people. And oh, by the way, you had not received mercy in the past, but now you have received, you have obtained mercy. God is good. Everything has been taken care of. Everything that you need from beginning to end, from the time you're a newborn babe in Christ until the time when you fit the description here as we read it in verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people of his own, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He's provided. Everything's been taken care of. In our gospel lesson, Jesus comforts. We saw that. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you. In our gospel lesson, Jesus, kind of having this motherly instinct, he comforts. Here in Peter, we just saw that God the Father is comforting. He's providing the milk of the word. He is providing the idea that you have now obtained mercy. Well, the other scripture lesson that we had was from the book of Acts in chapter 7. And I want to explore there that this same comfort is upon Stephen. And this same comfort is upon Stephen by way of the Holy Spirit. Our passage began in verse 55 of Acts 7. You know this story. Stephen is here. He is being interrogated. He's about to be executed. Filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, he's granted this beautiful vision. He looks up steadfastly into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. First, Jesus was comforting in John. Then God the Father was comforting, as we saw it in 1 Peter. And here in Acts, it's the Holy Spirit that is bearing witness and bringing comfort to Stephen at his martyrdom. By the way, as Stephen began that interrogation there, we are told that they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. The Spirit of God was providing for him. And as a matter of fact, it says in verse 16 of chapter 6, the prior chapter, which is the beginning of this story, it says that as they sat there in the council and all eyes were upon him, they looked at his face and it has, as it were, it was the face of an angel. So comforted was Stephen in what was to be the drama of his life and death. You know, later on in that passage in Acts, and I'm going to trust that you were listening as it was read for you, and I think that you know that story, how the ancients, the elders, the priests came and they horribly abused Stephen. They stoned him. He was killed. And, you know, Stephen sees this vision here of Jesus standing. And I want us to be reminded of that. Because not only is Stephen himself having that health that we talked about, remember we talked about those three things that happen when we really know that God has taken care of everything, we are healthy, Stephen had that, his face shone like an angel. But what else did we learn? We learned that those servants who were looking on, they knew that the hand of God was upon Stephen. And then thirdly, we learned that his enemies, the enemies of God, were put on notice that God takes care of his own. I wonder if we recognize that when we go back to Isaiah chapter 3 and verses 13 through 15. Because Stephen saw this picture. Stephen saw Jesus standing. This is Isaiah 3:13. The Lord stands up to plead. He stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients, same word as elders of his people, and their princes, who have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. The idea here is that Stephen was among the first fruits of the glory of God here. Stephen was born again. He was like a precious grape. And in this passage here, it says that those wicked elders, those wicked ancients of the people, they have eaten up the vineyard. As a matter of fact, a close reading of Acts chapter 7, it says, they gnashed upon him with their teeth. They were fulfilling exactly what Isaiah was talking about. So the enemies of God were being put on notice. When we really understand that God is comforting his people. In verse 15 it says, what do you mean that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts. Stephen saw the Lord stand. He placed his executioners on notice by reminding them that Jesus was standing in judgment against death, even as Stephen saw Jesus standing up for him. The result of that is what? The Lord's other servants, those looking on, they saw the hand of the Lord in all of this. And so as we look at that martyrdom of Stephen there, what a horrifying story it is. However horrifying this episode is and was, for sure, however horrifying our episodes in life, perhaps COVID is horrifying to you, or some other episode in your life, let us know that everything has been taken care of. Please endure with me one other passage here. It's from the Psalms. As you know, the lectionary always has at least one of the Psalms connected to it. And this week's lectionary has Psalm 31. Listen to these verses. In thee, O Lord, Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock or house of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that have been laid secretly for me. For you are my strength. And then it says this in verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord of truth. Those were the dying words of Jesus on the cross. Right? Into your hand I commit my spirit. But Jesus knew that for him, for himself, everything had been taken care of. Because God had redeemed him. Our inheritance is this. Everything has been taken care of for us. And so we can say, when it's our time, into your hand, I commit my spirit. Furthermore, in that same psalm, just verse 15, my times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. As we close, look again at Isaiah 66, these two verses we've been looking at. Don't miss the simile there in verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Rudyard Kipling would be proud of this simile here. On this Mother's Day, let's acknowledge that we have received comfort from Mom. An abundant, perfect comfort from God. So don't forget to thank your mom today. Don't forget to honor your mom today. But then in verse 14, again, when we see this, when we appropriate this, when we really get it, verse 14 again, your heart shall rejoice. You want to be happy? Become like the child that trusts that your father, like your mother, your father in heaven, like your mother, has taken care of everything. Your heart will rejoice. Your bones, that's your health, that's the innermost part of you, will flourish. That's number one. Number two, the hand of the Lord shall be known among his servants. What a great testimony, an encouragement you will be to others. And then finally, the enemies will be put on notice. I'll end where I began. Kipling was wrong in his premise. Because God is everywhere and God is here. And because Jesus says, my Father and I are one, that means Jesus is here. And so call upon him, because everything has been taken care of. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you have chosen to use earthly moms as a simile, as a model for some of what you do. And we thank you, Lord, for that special ministry of comfort that moms bring, that special ministry of comfort, Lord, that you bring to us. Lord, help us to rejoice in both of these this day. Lord, you've been good to us. Help us not to be anxious. Lord, help us to heed the words of Jesus and receive them. To not be troubled, but to believe and to know that you have prepared a place. You have prepared everything for us. That our times are in your hand and that we can rightfully and joyfully say, Lord, that we commend our spirit unto you. Help us to be ready to do that today and for every tomorrow. Father, help our hearts rejoice and help our bones flourish. Help us to be an encouragement, Lord, to those who are fellow servants of yours. Help us, Lord, to be a part of that which puts your enemies on notice. Make these things so, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.